fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Oh, yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Wednesday, greatest day of the entire week, my friends. The midweek celebration continues as we get ready to rock and roll for a whole nother one. Strap in, buckle up, and let's have some fun as we get ready to rock and roll for another episode of The Voice Reason, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station, the Big Talker KQAM. We are all over the country, though. Multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the program.
Do it live!
Welcome aboard your Millennial General reporting for duty like we do every single day. So great to have you, and a lot of stuff to talk about as usual. I mean, it's never a dull moment in today's age. And now with the headlines, the 24/7 news outlets, we can never get away from the news and the crazy coverage of the world. And it continues to get crazier each and every day. Steve Mosier, he'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. He is the author of the latest book, The Devil in Communist China. Yeah, what does that entail? We'll talk about the threats of China right now on the global front and against us here in the United States. You know, after we allow just a balloon to just nice and lightly float across the United States just months ago, taking plenty of pictures across the landscape. Oh, yeah, and military bases and infrastructure and everything else of the sort. We wait till it leaves the country, then we shoot it down, and then we return it when they request it as well. Funny how that happens. And of course, now we have the battle with TikTok, which officially now has filed a lawsuit against the United States for their freedom of speech to allow to be here in the U.S., which I kind of have to side with them on that front. We can talk about that a little bit later as well. First and foremost, before we get into it, a shout out to some of our listeners and our friends down in the great state of Oklahoma. As you know, just a few days ago, major storms rolling through. And for whatever reason, I truly think, and for those that don't know, there is in downtown Wichita, Kansas, where my flagship is here, we have a major statue of a Native American. And the story goes is that early on when Wichita was founded, and obviously in the prairie lands here, a lot of Native American tribes, there was a blessing or a protection that was put on the Wichita and South Central Kansas area by the Native Americans and with their blessings, with their spirituality that they had to protect this region. And since then, there have been very few really crazy storms that have hit this area. Now, as you know, a couple of days ago, we actually built a major statue of it. It's called the Keeper of the Plains. It's right there at the crossroads of all these rivers that come together right here in Wichita. A couple of days ago, as you know, there was the major storms that rolled through, started around here and then moved eastward with tornadoes happening in seven different states, I believe, with different confirmed countdowns and touchdowns that happened with these tornadoes. Wichita, for whatever reason, we have been blessed, and I hope it continues that way with the protections or whatever happens, but the storms literally broke up, parted, and hit about an hour north of us and an hour south of us. We didn't get a drop of rain during those storms. That's not the case for other places as well, as in some of our coverage areas for the radio show, there has been some pretty devastating effects. A couple of my listeners sending me some pictures of the devastation that happened down in Oklahoma from that F3 tornado that happened just yesterday, actually, that devastated the entire town. I saw some of the pictures, so thoughts and prayers to you, my friends, down there. And we'll continue to track, and hopefully everybody's okay, and the recovery and the rebuilding continues, not just in Oklahoma, but in all the places that have seen some of this crazy wild weather. It's springtime, so it's kind of a normalcy, but it was definitely a wild storm front that's rolled through for the past couple of days. And pretty concerning for sure. So thoughts and prayers to you, my friends, and we'll continue to pray and help out with you guys any way that we possibly can. All right, we got a lot to get to, so let's get into our What's Trending story of the day.
What's going on in this world of mine? There's a whole lot of killing in this world of mine. Somebody's got to help this world of mine.
And I want to start with something a little bit different here before we go to Washington, D.C. Well, I guess this isn't D.C., but a little bit different. There's been, as you know, some released information regarding National Public Radio and PBS and the government-funded media that's supposed to be neutral, middle of the road, and obviously we know it's not. It's very far-left progressive agenda that's essentially just regurgitating government agenda topical issues and doing it as what they claim to be middle-of-the-road nonpartisan media, which is not true in any way, shape, or form. And we know that to be the case with so many whistleblowers coming out now exposing how progressive NPR was, which we already knew just by listening to it. And if you want to talk about some very boring, dull, non-exciting radio reads. All you got to do is just go to artificial intelligence and ask Alexa to read some news headlines for you. And there you go. You got National Public Radio. But of course, the news headlines always have to be with a slant on how evil Republicans are, how evil the right side of the aisle is. And it's very unfortunate. So there's been discussion about defunding public radio, which would make sense because we already have media. We already have news. We already have journalists. We already have reporters. And apparently we've forgotten what the role of these outlets are, but the role of government or the role of media. Now, again, I'm not part of the media. I guess you can say that because I'm on radio stations, but I am not a journalist. I am not a reporter. I am not an investigative journalist. I'm not a news anchor. I'm a political commentator. I give my opinion and give my thoughts on issues based on my experiences, based on the facts and knowledge that I create, and the fact that I do research, and then I elaborate on stories to try and educate you and entertain you and make you think just a little bit deeper. I don't try to tell you, I give you my opinion, but I don't try to tell you this is the only way. I try to make you expand your brain a little bit and ponder certain issues. That's what my goal is, and do it in a semi-entertaining way to where you continue to listen. And we have to remind ourselves that because people, Andy, you're part of the mainstream. No, I'm not. I'm not part of the mainstream media. But we have journalists. We have investigative journalists. We have news reporters. And the purpose of those is to get down to the deep-rooted issue of the day, to talk about the story and not give opinion, but just here's the information. Here it is. Voila. And to actually get down to what's really going on. For example, like the White House correspondents. The ones that sit in the press room every day and they listen to Karine Jean-Pierre lie through her teeth and not give any information, but be very clear. Remember, that's her word. Very good. We're very clear about this. We're very clear about that. She's very clear about not giving any information whatsoever and lying through her teeth. That their goal as the media is supposed to press her on it to get the facts and get the information so they can relay it onto us. And not give it in a biased, twisted way, but just say, this is what they said. This is what she said. This is what Joe Biden said. This is what Donald Trump said. Period. End of story. Not Donald Trump said this, and then, of course, he's the most evil person on the face of the earth. If you agree with that, then you can come to your own conclusion on that, right? But just, this is what he said. Period. End of story. End the story there. That's not the case anymore with NPR, and we know that, and that's not been the case for a very long time. But according to Congresswoman Kathy Castor, she's now made a comment trying to defend NPR on how government needs to be funding it even more.
The valuable time of this committee absolutely should not be spent on investigating the backgrounds of reporters. As one of our witnesses stated in his written testimony, threats to defund NPR based on any perceived failure to cover certain topics or imbalance of political representation in the newsroom strikes at the heart of journalistic freedom.
Okay, let's stop there. First off, that audio from Fox News, I don't know why they put the music behind it, but let's just try to roll with it, shall we? So attacking NPR is attacking journalism at its core. Not true, because I'm pretty sure that journalism is just an industry where you get down to the bottom of things, not just get the talking points handed to you from the government who's funding you and then just regurgitating that information. That's not journalism. That's not news. And we have to be very clear about that because that's exactly what's going on at NPR. But let's continue.
Foreign adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party, Russia's Putin, or Iran's violent theocrats certainly enjoy it when American politicians undermine our own objective journalists.
Okay, let's stop right there again. This is the ridiculousness that we have to deal with. The banging the head against the wall each and every day, right? So Communist China and Vladimir Putin and all these other authoritarian governments, that they would laugh at us, according to her, based on us attacking our own journalism industries because of wanting to defund NPR. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming, because I don't live in these nations, so you can email me at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. I am assuming that these authoritarian nations have government-funded media, and they don't have private industry media holding government accountable for their actions and challenging them on the policies that are being made. In fact, I'm pretty darn sure that's the case, because if you're in China and you speak out against the Chinese Communist government, you get thrown in jail. If you're in Russia and you speak out against Vladimir Putin, then you get thrown in jail. So the only media they have is government-funded media regurgitating the talking points from the government, telling them what to report on in a certain manner to twist it in a certain fashion. That's what NPR does, and we don't want that. We want private industry. We want third-party objectors here, And we want to challenge everybody with someone who's not beholden to the government on what they're actually going to say and do, which it's getting less and less likely that we're seeing that in the mainstream media anyways. But I digress.
This committee should not do their dirty work for them. Instead, we need to invest in public broadcasting, NPR, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Without federal support, many of the stations serving low-income communities in rural areas would be forced to shut down.
Well, hold on, wait a second. What? So the let's go back to that, can't we? Because that was a little strange.
Without federal support, many of the stations serving low-income communities in rural areas would be forced to shut down.
Okay, I work for, and I'm, again, based out of Wichita, Kansas, my weekday job is I work for a cluster of radio stations that's across the state of Kansas, across Oklahoma, and other places as well. There's about 12, 13 radio stations in our entire group that's owned by a private individual, a farmer, in the state of Kansas. And as the operations manager, I make sure that all of these stations stay on the air, they run properly, they run smoothly. If there's any issues, don't contact me because, well, I'm working on it. But nonetheless, I work for a private cluster of radio stations. They are not funded by the federal government. In fact, they are funded by the private sector. The reason that I get a paycheck every day is because small businesses in these local communities decide to advertise on our radio stations. That's it. That's how we make our money. If businesses in the private sector do not advertise on the stations for whatever station it may be, then I don't get a paycheck. And these stations go off the air. These stations that she's talking about essentially say that the government funds them or else there's no media whatsoever in these areas, which is a flat-out complete lie. Because many of the stations that we have are in rural communities. Obviously in Kansas and Oklahoma, very rural areas. And guess what? They can literally go and get a radio or go in their vehicle and turn on the radio and hear our radio station free of charge with the hat tip of great local radio sponsors and partners that partner up with us to advertise on these stations to get their message across. So that way the listener listens to us and then goes and buys their product, making the business succeed, advertising through our radio station. That's how the private sector works. You don't know how they work? Through the government, through your taxpayer money, forcing them to stay open. And guess what? Many NPR stations are not in rural communities. Just throwing that out there. The vast majority of them are in very large cities and moderate cities or mid-markets. But yeah, they're not in rural communities as far as I'm aware. There are other options out there. But this whole argument of poor people, low-income people, rural communities not having access to media or having information available to them, flat out complete lies. And it's because of, thankfully, small mom and pop businesses that open up radio stations in these communities to enlighten their local communities on what's going on.
Congress decided to invest in public radio more than 50 years ago, in part to serve as a lifeline for underserved communities. Even with a moderate increase in our investment in public broadcasting, it would allow public radio stations and NPR to produce the high-quality content millions of us turn to daily.
All right, there it is. I can't do any more of that. That's a Kathy Castor congresswoman and her defense on trying to keep NPR around. It is not journalistic to have the government fund you to give you your talking points. It is journalistic for you to think on your own, investigate on your own, and report facts and truth and information for people to take away from that what they need to take away, and then form their own opinions on the issues.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. Welcome back into the program. Really didn't intend to spend an entire segment on that topic, but it really does just reinforce the concept that progressives really think that unless the public sector is doing it, then it's not happening. They don't understand the private sector. They've probably never been in the private sector. In fact, they despise the private sector, where they really want to consume the private sector into the public sector, have the government control everything, have the government regulate everything, which is why we're seeing the expansion of the fourth branch of government, which is every department, agency, and alphabet soup group that tries to regulate everything, because private sector evil and business owners evil, capitalists evil, corporations evil. So let's just consume all that to have the fat cats not sitting on top of their CEO positions, but actually as politicians regulating everything and telling you how you can live your life and telling you exactly how to think. at the same time. It's very crazy where that's the world that we live in today, when in fact, the private sector is able to hold people accountable more so than everybody else. We're getting to the point now where they're getting, quote unquote, so big that they promote their agenda. Disney's a prime example of that. They don't really care any longer, so they just continue to punch out ridiculously woke, quote unquote, products, and that's why they've lost almost $1 billion in the past 3 years. Because their movies they've been trying to force out have not been good. They try to promote an agenda as opposed to entertaining children, which is what their end goal was, and it's backfiring on them. And eventually that'll take a hit on them. But you, the consumer, you get to decide what you're going to buy and support in the private sector. If you don't like a product, you don't buy it. If you do like a product, you're going to buy it. If you don't like the company and their business dealings, then you don't support them. And when they don't have that revenue source, then they go bankrupt and they shut doors, or they're forced to change their models and how they actually operate as a business. We don't get that choice with government. Try to tell me just a single agency that has gone down because it's been a horrible agency that hasn't done anything. Name one that once it's created that's actually gone away. I'll wait. Hasn't actually happened. So government-funded stuff is not the answer, although that's what we always continue to push, is government this, government that, get rid of evil privacy and the private sector. Kind of crazy stuff. On the other front, other things going on in Washington, D.C. right now. There was an announcement earlier today from Speaker Mike Johnson, along with Congressman Chip Roy, on the new SAFE Act that is being pushed to only allow U.S. citizens to vote in the upcoming elections.
There is currently an unprecedented and a clear and present danger to the integrity of our election system. And that is the threat of non-citizens and illegal aliens voting in our elections. In the last 5.5 months or so, I've been to over 101 cities doing events all around the country in more than half the states. The first or second question that I am asked in every public forum is about election security. Americans are deeply concerned about this, and it doesn't matter where you live and whether you're in a blue state or a red state, everyone's concerned. And due to the wide open border that the Biden administration has refused to close, in fact, that they engineered to open, we now have so many non-citizens in the country that if only 1 out of 100 of those voted, they would cast hundreds of thousands of votes. And since our elections are so razor thin in these days that we're in just a few precincts and a few states decide the makeup of Congress and who is elected to the White House, this is a dangerously high number, and it is a great concern to millions and millions of Americans.
All right, that's Speaker Mike Johnson earlier today with a panel of Republicans, including Congressman Chip Roy, with the new SAFE Act. And I'm so conflicted about this bill. We'll talk a little bit more in detail about it later on, but I'm so conflicted on the bill because while I completely agree with it, we can't allow people who are here illegally, who have not gone through the process of naturalization, who have not gone through the legal process to actually come to the country, to actually vote. That's ridiculous. The problem is this bill just reinforces something that's already on the books. Literally the only stipulation that the Constitution of the United States has on voting is that you have to be someone following the jurisdictional laws of the U.S. and you have to be a U.S. citizen. That's it. That's the only stipulation to be able to vote. And then it's up to the states, based on the concept of federalism, for the states to define how they validate somebody as a U.S. citizen, based on voter registration. But that seems to be changing today, doesn't it now?
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. Welcome back into it here on the home stretch for a midweek celebration on The Voice of Reason. Trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag, trying to rebrand the millennial generation one radio listener at a time. The SAFE Act that's been presented now by Speaker Mike Johnson and Chip Roy, along with other Republicans, is that the workings and the dealings that he had with Marjorie Taylor Greene to not do the ousting to try and promote a conservative agenda. I know he announced this a while back as well when he was speaking at Mar-a-Lago with former President Donald Trump, saying that this is what they were working on. But again, it's sad we even have to do this. The Constitution literally gives us like one requirement, is that you have to be a U.S. citizen in order to vote. That's it. Now, the push, of course, has been to bring in all these massive amount of migrants and then try and give amnesty and then allow people to vote. And in fact, there's a federal law that could be interpreted that they're being pushed to now with just saying that you thought you were a U.S. citizen and therefore you'd be allowed to vote. If you thought at the time when you cast your ballot that you thought you were a U.S. citizen, then you can actually have your ballot counted. Then, of course, we have other states like New York and California that has gotten rid of the voter verification to prove that you are who you are and that you are a U.S. citizen, that you automatically get registered to vote when you get your driver's license. And coincidentally, if you go there and get your driver's license, the illegal aliens can now get their driver's license because they're a contributing member of society, they have jobs, and they need to get to work. So therefore, they should be able to drive. And oh, by the way, if you register and actually get your driver's license, then you can just register to vote there at the same time. Funny how that all comes together. We'll talk some more about that here in just a little bit. But until then,
what's trending today?
I want to go somewhere else as we look at some of the ongoing foreign policy. Again, another major flop and failure from the current administration. But nonetheless, we have a major threat that continues to rise. And what are we actually doing about it? What are we actually doing to try and keep some of the threats globally from impeding here on the United States? To talk about some of that and more, really happy to have on the program, he is author of the latest book, The Devil in Communist China, From Mao Down to Xi, that just came out here in the past month. Really happy to have on here Mr. Steve Mosier. Steve, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Andy, and there are lots of diabolical things that China's up to. What shall we hit on first?
Oh, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, aren't there? First and foremost, let's talk about the communist takeover, because I love, and I've said this before, I love theater, I love plays, I love history of different nations, and there's a touring, something that's touring here, at least was touring across the nation just a while ago, about pre-communist China and some of the culture that they have, and it was kind of a play, musical, opera thing, and I've wanted to see it because it looks absolutely phenomenal. But China was one of the best nations filled with culture and with history until this communist takeover, where now everything seems to be kind of the same, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, that's the purpose of the communist takeover, of course, was to destroy traditional culture, destroy the traditional society, destroy the family, really level everything, and then on the ruins supposedly create a perfect society. But, you know, the ancient Chinese strategist Sun Tzu said 2,500 years ago, evil men will burn their country to the ground in order to rule over the ashes. And that's exactly what the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party have done. They have burned their country to the ground in order to rule over the ashes. And only the ashes of the traditional culture are left. I think the dance troupe you were talking about with Shen Yun, it's just beautiful.
Yes.
Choreography and music and everything. And people should see what China was like before the Chinese Communist Party came in and destroyed it in the interest of establishing what they call a proletarian culture, right? The culture of the masses, which basically involves listening to canned speeches by the supreme leader Xi Jinping every day, all day long.
Wow. It is unfortunate. We were just talking about in the last couple of segments about this push to try and defend like NPR, public radio, public TV with PBS, and how the government needs to be funding this because that way it's getting information out in a nonpartisan kind of manner. And the congresswoman, I can play you the clip, even mentioned in the comment about how China and Russia would be proud of us by defunding government media. Check this out.
Foreign adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party, Russia's Putin, or Iran's violent theocrats certainly enjoy it when American politicians undermine our own objective journalists.
Now, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's no private media over there that's actually questioning the policy decision-making of Russia and of China, because if you do that, I'm pretty sure you'd end up dead or in jail, don't you?
There are battalions of censors who are constantly, and aided by artificial intelligence, by the way, monitoring the internet, monitoring social media to make sure that nobody says anything critical of the Chinese Communist Party. And not only is it taken down immediately, but you can be arrested and charged with a crime for what they call, you know, upsetting society, upsetting the social order. And a lot of people have been sent away to prison or to re-education camps. But look, this stuff, this propaganda is pervasive in China. When I first arrived in China in 1979, the loudspeakers in the commune were going from 6 a.m. in the morning until midnight. And they were blasting out the speeches of Mao Zedong and the other Chairman Mao and the other communist leaders. from morning until night. It was just brain numbing. It was hardly, you were hardly able to think because the propaganda waves were coming at you one after another. And that's what NPR is really about. Without telling us, they're about trying to play mind games with us and trying to propagandize us into thinking about a certain subject in a certain way.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. Steve, what do you think right now is the biggest threat that China poses to the United States? Is it the purchasing of agricultural land near military bases where we've tried to actually put that at a halt? Is it TikTok and trying to influence social media and trying to influence the young generation? Is it military-wise? Is it us buying all the technology and being so dependent on their shipments? Like what, right? Or is it a combination of all these? But what do you think right now is the major concern that we have with China?
You know, that's a really tough question, Andy, to answer, because they're attacking us across all domains, except the kinetic, right?
Mm. That is very true. Yeah,
But I would put right up there at the top of the list the fentanyl crisis, because China's making and exporting fentanyl to the United States quite deliberately and killing over 100,000 Americans a year. That is an actual death toll that we can point out. There are actual people dying now on the streets of San Francisco and Los Angeles because of this. And we now know from a well-connected Beijing professor that Xi Jinping has ordered this to continue. He has put the Ministry of State Security in charge of fentanyl production and export, and he has told them that this is a revenge for the opium wars of the two centuries ago, and that they are to continue this unrestricted warfare, unconventional warfare against the United States.
So they're openly admitting that this is actually an operation to try and kill Americans with fentanyl.
Yes. Well, I mean, this was a secret speech given by Xi Jinping first to the senior leaders of the Chinese Communist Party. And then we have a transcript of the speech given by the Ministry of State Security. Why would you put the Minister of State Security in charge of fentanyl production and export? Well, because he's got his secret police. He knows exactly where the factories are, and he knows where the shipments are being shipped from. These things are being subsidized, Andy. It is a war, a chemical warfare on the United States, and it's not only killing 100,000 Americans, it's leaving millions of families devastated, other millions of young people addicted for the rest of their lives, so they won't become, you know, productive citizens contributing to society. Their lives will have been ruined. And it is a deliberate part of a deliberate effort to take down the United States. It's not the only thing China's doing. They're playing with our minds on TikTok. They're threatening us constantly in the Far East with invading Taiwan, the South China Sea, the Philippines, the Japanese-held Senkaku Islands, and all the rest. But I think the cutting-edge threat, the one that's killing the most Americans now, is fentanyl. And when Secretary of State Antony Blinken was just in Beijing, guess who he met with? He met with the Minister of State Security to talk about curbing fentanyl production and export to the United States. And, of course, that guy is going to sit there and lie smoothly and say, oh, yes, we understand the problem. But it's largely domestic. You know, you're creating a demand in the United States, and we really have nothing to do with it. That's all a fabrication. That's all deceit and deception.
Wow. And you can see how low on the bottom of the totem pole that we are here in the United States with our negotiating skills to recognize the fact that they're openly creating a war on drugs here in the United States with us. And we're just going over there and begging them to stop. And they just kind of laugh us off. I mean, it shows our weakness right now, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, it's almost as bad as begging them to help us on climate change when they're making solar panels with slave labor in Xinjiang and then exporting them to the United States. And taking our money, you know, and even collecting all our loose change. It's almost as bad as saying we're going to enlist Beijing to help us corral the North Korean nuclear weapons program when China is the biggest sponsor and supporter of the North Korean regime. I mean, it's utter foolishness to think that they will help us on any of these fronts. Their goal is to destroy us, to replace us as the dominant power on the planet by 2049. They actually have a date, and they're going to continue until they either achieve that or we beat them, one or the other.
With how much of the debts and how many bonds that they purchased of U.S. debt right now, I mean, economically, aren't they already surpassing us?
Well, they hold huge amounts of our federal debt, and it is true that if they were to dump that debt, they would take a big loss, but they could also destabilize the U.S. currency. They're trying to replace the dollar as a reserve currency of the world. And if they do that, people need to understand their dollars will be a lot less in value. And we've already seen that Saudi Arabia is now going to stop accepting only dollars for its petroleum. It's going to accept Chinese dollars, renminbi, yuan, they call it. So the effort to undermine the U.S. economy, to undermine U.S. society, psychological warfare with TikTok, as I say, they're at war with us across all domains except the kinetic. We're not firing bullets at each other, but they have waged biological warfare, releasing COVID on the world. They're engaged in chemical warfare right now. So, you know, everywhere you look, there's a threat from China. So you asked me to rank them?
Yeah.
That's tough to do.
Yeah, Steve, we got to take a hard break here. Can you stick over another segment with us?
Sure.
Awesome. I want to continue this conversation. It is Steve Mosier, The Devil and Communist China is the book. You can find it on Amazon, other places as well. Fascinating and very scary stuff. We'll do some more of this when we come back right here on The Voice of Reason. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. Welcome back into the program. Got a few minutes left here of a midweek celebration. As your political therapist, trying to therify you on a daily basis. Continues on here. Fascinating conversation we have right now with Steve Mosier. He is the author of the book, The Devil and Communist China, from Mao down to Xi, as we talk about the threats with China. And as you mentioned, there's so many directions that we can go here and so many different things that China's involved with here in the United States and our interaction with them, for sure. I want to talk about TikTok for just a moment because I've had a little bit different of a stance, I think, on TikTok than other individuals, where we understand, obviously, as you mentioned, Steve, that China is a threat, that, you know, they are influencing our young generation with 170 million Americans are on TikTok, and I have a TikTok account myself, collecting this data, tracking our purchasing habits, so on and so forth. My concern has been, though, that if we're going to ban TikTok, that we should also be concerned about the data collection from our own government with metadata and our GPS tracking and our text message, phone calls, social media, censoring there, the shadow banning, the content control that they're doing on our social media as well. Is that a justifiable concern, do you think, or is China still above and beyond the threat of what our own federal government is to the American people?
Well, I think there's no doubt the federal government is a threat to liberty, to freedom of speech, and so forth. I saw that firsthand in February of 2020 when I was one of the first to say that the COVID virus came from the Wuhan lab and that it was part of the PLA's bioweapons program, which it is. We now know that the State Department knew that as early as June of 2020, 3 months later. But in February, I was banned from Facebook. I was shadow banned by the woke mob. Wow. and Dr. Fauci and all the other players. So I'm well aware of the problem of censorship here at home, which is part of this public-private partnership that the government uses to get around its direct involvement in censoring Americans. But I think the threat from China rises to another level, because this is a major psyop, a major psychological operation carried out by the Chinese Communist Party through the company ByteDance, which controls TikTok. And I say that because if you go on TikTok in China, you will find that TikTok in China is a very positive thing, that kids on TikTok are encouraged to do their homework, encouraged to do science experiments at home, go to school, succeed in life, read books, do all the things that you almost never see on TikTok in the United States, where bizarre sexual fetishes are propagated and other things that are, I think, demeaning and demoralizing and ultimately disastrous for the development of young people, their minds and their spirit. Yeah. So and China now, the Chinese Communist Party, after claiming for years now that TikTok had nothing to do with the Chinese Communist Party or China, is now admitting that, yes, to allow TikTok to be sold would jeopardize the national security of the People's Republic of China. Admitting what? Admitting that all along it was one of the weapons that China was using against the United States, against our youth.
Yeah, that's a major concern. It really is. And you're right. I mean, we need that a little bit of, like you said, that positive reinforcement for children on social media instead of what we see now. Like you said, the weird dances that they do. That's just absurd.
Yeah.
If they look at my trends, my trends on TikTok are heavy metal bands and stand-up comedians. So they're not going to get a lot of the tracking from what I do on mine. But it's very fascinating. You mentioned something that we got just about a minute before we have to wrap up here, Steve. But you mentioned the Wuhan lab and COVID-19. Have they come out anymore and admitted the fact that that, again, as well, was an intentional biological weapon? Are they planning anything else? And do we have any other connections from our own NIH or FDA or federal government at all in ties to these bio labs going on in China?
Well, you know, my latest book is The Devil in Communist China, but the one before that was The Politically Incorrect Guide to Pandemics. And the answer to your question is yes, they've had a bioweapons program since the beginning of the People's Republic of China 75 years ago. They inherited the old Japanese bio labs in Manchuria and have built on that over the years with the help of U.S. technology and funding, believe it or not. So we're funding the development of viruses that were being used to kill us. And the release from the lab, I believe, was whether it was accidental or deliberate, it was certainly deliberate in releasing it on the world. There were plane loads of people who were sent to the United States who helped to spread the infection here. So China's responsible for billions of dollars in losses and millions of dollars in lost lives. And they should be made to pay.
Yeah, well, they should. They should be held accountable as of everybody else that that went down that road. It's unfortunate and it's sad, and they continue to be a major threat that we need to deal with. And we're not seeing anything coming from the Biden administration right now on trying to hold them accountable at all. It's a fascinating conversation. There's so many more directions we need to go with this, so we have to get you back on. It is The Devil in Communist China. Go check out the book on Amazon and other places as well. Steve Mosher. Steve, so good to have you on. Let's do it again real soon, brother.
Thank you, Andy.
Hey, appreciate it. Man, the time goes by way too fast. I wasn't done. We got to talk about some more of this. Until then, we'll have to do it again tomorrow for a pre-Friday celebration. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.